Thank the Lord. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, your Bibles tonight. Let's run over the Judges. Judges 13. We're going to pick up where we left off at. Remember, we're preaching a sermon series on Samson's life. And we're looking at his victories and defeats, but also his strengths and his weaknesses. Amen. And when I look at Samson, I'm reminded of the strengths that we have as well as our weaknesses. Amen. But also how we are victorious, but also we face sometimes many defeats. But let's look here over to Judges chapter number 13. And once you get there, let's all stand. We'll read verse 6 down through verse number 9. That's Judges chapter number 13, verses 6 through verse number 9. And the Bible says this. The Bible says, "Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine, nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.' Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, 'Oh, my Lord, let the man of God which thou dost send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born.' And the Bible says, 'And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah.'" We'll stop right there. We'll talk tonight on this little thought, sharing the awesome, shocking news. Sharing the awesome, shocking news. Father, I pray tonight for your divine help. I pray, God, for your guidance and direction. I pray, God, that you take the scriptures, and I pray, God, that you would unfold the truths that we need to receive tonight. I pray, God, you speak to each heart directly. Speak to us, Father, collectively. Speak to those who are watching and those who will be tuning in later. I pray and ask, God, you breathe upon us and show us some things, God, that we need to embrace and implement in our life. I pray, God, that you help us in that way, God, in which we need to be helped. And I pray, God, whatever promises that you have given us, I pray, God, we'd not simply walk away from the promise, but I pray, God, we follow the directions that we need to do in order to receive the promise and then shout the victory. And for that, God, we'll thank you. I pray, God, for wisdom. I pray for guidance and understanding and knowledge. I pray, God, to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, to guide my mind and guide my heart, guide my speech, guide my tongue, guide my whole body. Use it for your honor and for your glory. And I pray, God, that each ear that's here tonight and those who are watching, the ear will be tuned in, not to my voice, but the voice, God, that comes straight from heaven through the power of the word of God. For that, God, will thank you. And then, God, if there's anything else I may have left out, please, sir, meet that great need as well, and we'll shout hallelujah. We love you. Have your way. For it's in your son's name we pray. Not a week, Jesus. By the way, one more thing, brother. All the requests that were mentioned tonight, I pray, God, and touch and agree along with brother Russell. I pray, God, should touch and touch each situation and meet all those needs, and then, God, help us to come back and praise you for what you've done. That's it for now. In your son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Maybe you see them sharing the awesome, shocking news. A lot of times we share a lot of news, but a lot of times it's bad news. Amen. When you turn on your television, they're not going to tell you about all the great things that have happened today, all the folks who were encouraged, those who were helped by somebody. No. They said this is the daily news, but all they tell you primarily is bad stuff. Who got robbed? Who got shot? Who had their place broken into? What somebody did that was awful? Most of the time, that's the type of news that we receive on NBC, ABC, CBS, and the rest. Amen. But notice, here's a woman that has some good, shocking news to share with her husband. We already talked about how the angel of the Lord came and appeared to her and told her some things that would take place. Remember, the Bible says she was barren. She could not bear children. She was sterile, my friends. But now she has received this awesome, shocking news from the angel of the Lord, and she does something that is awesome to me. The first thing she does, number one, is that she devotedly told her husband. She devotedly told her husband. Look, the Bible says in verse, we'll read verse number 5 and then run into verse 6. "For lo, This is what the angel told her. Thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. The Bible says, then the woman came and told her husband. A man talks to her, and as soon as he is done, the Bible says she tells her husband. It's amazing how sometimes somebody might speak to us about certain things and we don't tell our spouse what has been told to us. But we see an example, my friends. When this man approached her and spoke to her of this angel of the Lord, the Bible says that she immediately went and told her husband. She told him, my dear friends, what was told to her. The Bible says that when she came, she that means to go, and told means to speak. She spoke to her husband, and this is what she said. Secondly, she describes his countenance. She describes his countenance, and she says this. She says, saying, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance, his appearance, his view was like the countenance of an angel of God. Now, remember that word angel means also messenger or representative. She says, all I can tell you is that his countenance, the way he looked, the way he looked like an angel of God. His appearance was like the messenger, a representative of God. Very terrible. What in the world should say terrible for? When you say that word out, terrible, it also means to be in awe. There was something awesome about this appearance. And I thought about something too. She recognized that whoever this was that spoke to her was somebody that was from God. There was something about his outward appearance that said to her, this is a man of God. Well, you know what that tells me, my friends? As believers, as Christians, there should be something about our outward appearance and our speech that should let somebody know that person is different. Amen. There's something unique about that person. They're not like everybody else. This morning we had our Midwest Baptist Fellowship meeting, and we was down in Napanee, Indiana. And this one guy that preached, he was from North Carolina, and he was a former Marine. He was in a Marine, and now he's a missionary that's going out to Spokane, Washington. But right now, even as a missionary, he's also a police officer that works down there in North Carolina. And he told us that when he got on the force. He's one of the first people, persons in that county to have one of those body cams. And he said, this is the reason why, though. They knew he was a Christian. They knew he was a preacher. But they all had a bet going on as how long it would be before he would cuss. And so they put that on him for that purpose. Because they wanted evidence to show that he had cussed in a certain amount of time. And he said all the way up to the captain of the force, they had a bet going on. And somebody hollered out, well, how much was the bet? They had a $500 bet to when he was going to cuss. And most of them gave him at least about 2 months. And they wanted to see how was he going to respond in a difficult situation. How was he going to respond in something that would be challenging to him as a person. And I'm glad to say that they did not win the bet, amen? But they knew there's something different about this man, but we're going to give him a little time, and we're going to see how long it's going to take. Now, he's going to come be with us. He's booked up for the whole year, but to share the work that God's called him to do, he's going to be with us in February of 2017. That's all I could get. But nonetheless, though, what a blessing he was. But my dear friends, do you know that folks are watching you, and people can sometimes tell whether or not that you are a believer, if you are a child of God, by your countenance? But it's also amazing how for some folks, their countenance would not even say that they belong to the King. I remember when I was away from God and I was working on my job, and I remember a whole bunch of folks that were sitting there, they was talking about what church they went to and all that kind of stuff. And they was a Lutheran, they was a Methodist. And I was just walking by her. I said, well, I'm a Baptist. And they all just looked at me. Not like he a Baptist. They looked at me like, he go to church? Well, I haven't been to church in 3 years, but my soul. I mean, they looked at me like they couldn't even, huh? Because my speech did not sound like a Christian. Remember, that's what happened to Peter. When she said, you sound like one of them. He said, no, I don't. No, I don't. He started cussing. I was cussing on my job, telling dirty jokes on my job. And you know what? They didn't look at me like, that's a believer. But I'm going to tell you what, my friends, when I gave myself back over to God back in 1989, that same job, those same people, they saw a difference begin to take place in my countenance that was not only outwardly, but also inwardly. And not because I was walking around saying, listen to me, look at me, I got my halo on. No. Automatically, God began to do some changes on the inside. And it manifested itself on the outside. This woman says to her husband, listen, let me describe to you his countenance. She said, he looked like, this man of God looked like an angel of God, a messenger of God, a representative of God. He was very terrible. He was awesome. Let me ask us a question. Would somebody say that about us? Their countenance is like a representative, a messenger of God. I'll tell some people sometimes, you go on your job, let them know right away that you are a child of the King. Because once you do that, my friends, now they're going to look at you as if you are a child of the King, and they want to see if you are a child of the King. But it'll also help you to behave like a child of the King. Amen. Yeah. Some folks will say, I don't want nobody to know. They need to know. That'll help you as well, amen. But not only that, my dear friends, then we see, I like this, she details, thirdly, she details the news. Now, a few men can, but most women, they can give you some details. You ask me, you know, what color was it? It was a color. Amen. What did you see? Well, it was, you know, I laugh at some folks when they send me some of y'all here tonight, but they send me a text and there'll be a long text. You'll come in, you know, 3-4 parts. And then my answer will be 3 lines or 2. And it's like, now I went through this whole, thing. And this is how you respond to me. I'm like, yep, you got it. That's right. Wait a minute. This woman here was also detailed. Look what the Bible says here. The Bible says she gave him a detail of the news that she received. Verse 6 says that she came to her husband and she said, a man of God came unto me. His countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. He didn't give me all that information. But she said this though. Behold, but he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive. You're going to be pregnant and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child should be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. She says, listen, he told me I'm going to conceive. I'm going to be pregnant. And you know that I'm sterile. She says, not only that, he says, listen, don't drink no wine. Remember we talked about that Sunday. That word wine, that means fermenting. That which gets you intoxicated. It goes on to say this, my dear friends, nor strong drink. We also talked about that. Matter of fact, the word intoxicated, it means this. It means to excite the spirits. And don't forget when we was over in Wales, and we had, in France. And as we was walking down the streets in France, I remember we saw all the different places. You remember this, Jane? And they said spirits. Spirits. I'm like, well, they got what kind of, they're talking about alcohol. And I said, you know what? I never thought about it like that. A spirit, but the wrong spirit. Now, I don't think I want to go into a place and say, come get your spirits in a bottle. What kind of spirit am I going to get in this bottle? Think about what I'm saying. And my dear friends, when you begin to drink that alcohol, when you begin to get drunk and all these type of things, it begins to do something not only with your spirit, but you'll open yourself up to some other spirits. And then you'll behave in ways that it'll blow your mind. I believe I did that. How did I let that happen? You let some spirits take control or influence you, depending on whether you're saved or lost, to do some things that you wouldn't normally do. That's why you young girls and some of y'all going to college and all that kind of stuff, yeah, they want you to drink at the party so they can get you drunk. And then all of a sudden, the thing that you wouldn't normally do, you find yourself doing, and next thing you know, you're on Facebook or some other page or something like that. And going, how did that happen? Where did that come from? Them spirits. Don't open yourself up to them spirits. The Bible says right here, my dear friends, in this verse, the Bible says, he says, don't drink no wine, no strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, nothing that is filthy, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. So we see the detail that she gives. First of all, she gives the dynamic guarantee. I'm going to have a child. Secondly, in the midst of those details, she gave directions. I'm not supposed to drink or eat anything that's defiled, anything that's not the right thing to take. And then thirdly, she shows in her details the duration. How long is this supposed to be? The Bible says, verse number 7, latter part, for the child should be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of what? His death. He is going to be a Nazarite. That word Nazarite, once again, means to be consecrated, to be devoted. He is consecrated. He's devoted to God. He belongs to God. And he's supposed to be this way until the day of his death. You know what? As a child of the king, we should be the same way. Dedicated to God from the day of our new birth, the day we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. Devoted to God. God, take all of me. God, you take my mind, take my head, take my hands and my feet, take my heart, take my body, and God, use it for your honor, for your glory. Matter of fact, I bought and paid for it. The Holy Ghost owns me. Now the Bible says, let me show you something. Look with me over to our 1 Corinthians. Make that 2 Corinthians. It's a Corinthians. But go on over there, man, and I'm going to show you something here, what the Bible says here. I believe it's in, go to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 first. If it's not there, it's 2. Look over there, 1 Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Drop all the way down to verse number 15. The Bible says this in verse number 15. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Huh? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And he says something here. Flee! Run! From what? Fornication! Run! I was watching an episode. Some of y'all might remember the show. Remember the show Different Strokes? I was watching an episode of that, and it had, I can't think of Willis? Yeah, Willis. And his character was liking this girl who happened to be Janet Jackson. Of course, her name was different in the show. And in that show right there, he was talking to his dad, so to speak, and he was like, you know, all my friends are not virgins, and I don't want to be one. And he was talking to him about that whole situation. And come to find out, make a long story short, all them people who were saying that they weren't, were. But he was trying to be like the crowd, trying to be like everyone else. But I told Jolene, I said, now that show was in the late 70s, I believe it was, late 70s. I said, well, actually today, this is a lot different today. A lot of people that say they have, unfortunately. 14, 15, 13 years old, 10-year-old girls pregnant. Think about that for a second, guys. What in the world's happening? They're not fleeing for fornication. Why are they not fleeing for fornication? Because when you go to school, they hand them out to you. What do you think then? It must be all right, I guess. I mean, the school, they're the ones with all the knowledge. They have all the wisdom, so to speak. And so they know what's right. They're teaching me what's right and wrong. So if they're giving me contraceptives, it must be okay. But my friends, when you read the Holy Word of God, the Bible tells us to flee. Flee, run from fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, he says? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, he says, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Well, I'm my own person. You're deceived. If you got saved, you should have got saved then. Because you got saved, you got bought and paid for. The Bible says right here, verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. What was the price? The price was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When he died upon the cross for our sins, he bought and paid for us, and we do not belong to ourselves. Well, it's my hands. No, it's not. It's my feet. I go where I want to go. No. It's my mouth. I say what I want. No, you don't. By the way, we talked this Sunday. If you belong to him, he chases those that are his. Amen. You know what he does? Somebody took my paddle. Amen. I find another one. But he'll spank us. Not to hurt us, but to help us. Our Christian teaching, Uriah, you know, he do some little things, and he's learning. She said, no. You tell him no. You know what he does, Jay, Miss Jane? And they fake tears, and they'll become realized. Why? Because we said no. Sometimes we're the same way as Christians. God says no. Why come I can't do that, God? What's wrong with that? I said no. I know God knows what he's talking about. If God said no, he knows. Yeah, but I don't understand. You ain't got to understand. No. I remember Christian when she was little, and we would tell her not to touch the stove because it's hot. It's hot. Hot. Y'all know Christian. We ain't looking. She touched it. And she said, hot. Hot. Yes, hot. I told you it was hot. Amen. But you know what? She didn't understand. You know, all she knows, I want to touch that. And Uriah got that same gene. I mean, he'll go, he'll be pulling stuff. No, Uriah, no. I'm teaching him. He used to like that. When he was real small, he used to like just rub my head, hit my head. And now I'm like, okay, we got to stop that. He probably died a couple of times. That don't feel good. I'm like, no, don't do that. He wants to play drums. That's wonderful. But he grabbed the little things which you play the drum with, and I was laying there holding them, and he went, wham, and I wasn't ready. Hit me right in the eye. I'm like, boy, no. I'm going to my father. Nonetheless, I mean, calm down, Christian, calm down. Amen. But nonetheless, I'm the babysitter. Yeah. But nonetheless, the Bible says here, my dear friends, the duration, he's supposed to be a Nazarite until his death. You know what? You're a child of God, the child of the King, until he takes you home. But guess what? You're still a child of the King. Amen. But not only that, let's hurry up. Not only that, we see the details of the news. Then we see Manoah's desired prayer. Manoah's desired prayer. The Bible says in verse number 8, then Manoah entreated the Lord, Jehovah God, and said, O my Lord, Master, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. The first thing we see is the determined focus of his prayer. The determined focus of his prayer. What was the focus of his prayer? Manoah entreated the Lord and said unto the Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come again unto us and what? Teach us. That was his focus. He was determined to know what to do. He says, teach us. And the word teach also means to direct instructions. Teach us, give us instructions what we shall do. We're going to have this kid, this child, but I need you to teach us. Show what to do. We don't know. By the way, when you become a parent, you don't know what to do. We ain't never been one before. You have a clue. You know, and we pretend like, I got it. Yeah, I know we're going. No, you don't. You don't have an idea. You know, you don't have no idea until if you have more than one, you'll find out later as they go. You know, I mean, the things I did with DJ, I didn't do with Isaiah. Don't do with Uriah, you know. But you learn it. It's not like you learn it as you go, you know. I mean, before, man, I wasn't that rough, okay? Be quiet, Christian. But, you know, I mean, I say no in a heartbeat. No. No. And then later, Julian said, she gave me all the rest of the information. And then, okay. But then I learned. Don't say no first. Get some more information. Then make the decision, amen? Okay? Chris, you can be dismissed, okay? Out of here, okay? You don't know what's going on. But nonetheless, let's move on. You're messing my message up. But nonetheless, though, the focus was this. He says, Lord, teach us, direct us, instruct us what to do. But then notice something else. We also see the doubtlessness in his prayer. Doubtlessness means no doubt. The Bible says right here that he says, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. He did not question whether this is going to happen. Now, he believed it. He didn't doubt. He says, teach us. Now, y'all got to remember now. Listen, remember, she was barren. She was sterile. She could not have children. She couldn't have them. And all of a sudden, this man comes by. For she knows some man of God. Who's a man of God? But he told me these things. And she tells her husband. He comes to God and said, God, could you have him come back and teach us? Teach us what to do when the child comes? Man. That's the type of faith we need. He ain't seen a child yet. Matter of fact, my friends, all they have is a word. That's all. But he believed. Let me show you this last thing. We see the non-displeasure of God. The non-displeasure of God. Sometimes we think if I ask God, he'll get mad at me. Why would he get mad at you? Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, and God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. That word hearken there also means to listen. It also means, watch this, to hear intelligently. To hear intelligently. God understood exactly what Manoah was saying. By the way, brothers and sisters, God knows exactly what you mean when you ask him certain things. He knows. And God's not walking around trying to beat nobody up. God's trying to help us, and God's trying to encourage us. He doesn't say, Manoah, listen, just wait till the child gets here, and everything else is going to work its way out. No, that's not what he said. We'll see later on. He's going to send the man of God back and tell them some more news. And we're going to see victory begin to take place. But tonight, we see this awesome, shocking news that his wife shared with him. They were together on this thing. He said, woman, you crazy. What man? You lost your mind. What you been doing? Huh? That's not what he said. She told him he went and talked to God. Hey, when somebody says to you something that God said, go talk to God about it. Think of somebody said, God said, okay, go ask. It's like your kids. Well, mama said, and y'all know, some of y'all know this. They've been telling you mama said this or daddy said this and daddy and mama ain't said nothing. And then you get in trouble. And then you said, they told me, like, I ain't said that. I ain't said nothing. Everybody's quiet right now. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, amen. I'm going to get them in trouble. I'm sorry, Pam. I remember one time my daddy came in there to whip me. Pam, know why? Because somebody kept, how can I put this? Number one, do a number one on the seat. Okay, all right, okay. I'm like, and there's ain't but two of us here. And there's, he pulled the seat up. And you see, I didn't pull the seat up. I'm like, I didn't do that. Y'all know what happened. We was little. Pam will get mad at me, so she going to do that on the seat. And my dad thought I did it. And Miss Bobby, I got a whooping. Talk to her after service, Miss Bobby. And But I got to whoop him. What are you saying? Sometimes, my friends, I don't have a swig I do this mess here, but sometimes, my friends, we need to go straight to God and find out what's been said. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? Awesome, shocking news. The husband and wife were together. He went and talked to God. God was not displeased with him. Instead, God, we'll see in verse number 9, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And we're going to talk about that later. She goes and gets him. They talk to the man of God, and the man of God tells him what's going on. I got two questions. We're done. First question is this. What have you done with the news that God has shared with you? What have you done with the news that God has shared with you? Secondly, do you want God to show you now what to do? He's told you this is going to take place. Now ask God to show you what to do. He'll show you. And the last one is simply this. Let's pray and ask him. Let's pray and ask him. Manoah went to God and asked him, what do we do? What do we do? And God's going to tell him exactly what to do. Good news, awesome, shocking news that needs to be shared. If God shares something with you and he wants you to share with someone else, tell somebody else. So I don't know if it's going to take, if God says it, believe him. Believe him. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. I do pray and ask God that tonight, as we're going to get to Samson in a moment. We got to set the stage here. But I do pray and ask God that if you spoke to someone's heart tonight about how you know how to give us a message, you know how to give us the news that we need to hear, some miraculous things that need to take place in some of our lives, even that are here tonight. I do pray and ask God we'd come and talk to you. I pray and ask God that we would come, Father, and listen to what you have to say to us, but also believe the word that you give us. If you told us that you're going to do something, Lord, for us, you're going to do it. The Bible says you cannot lie. You can't lie. So God, help us to believe your word, believe your promises. There's so many that are written in the word of God. Father, help somebody tonight. The Bible says to ask, to seek, and to knock. Do we believe that? The Bible says, whatsoever we ask in prayer, believe, and we shall receive. I wonder, Father, if we believe that. Father, help us to believe. And then perhaps we need to be like that father. Say, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Father, whatever the needs are tonight, I pray, God, we respond. Maybe it has nothing to do with this message, but something else that you talk to us about. But I pray, God, we come. That's it, Father. We've heard the songs. We've heard the sermon. Now it's time to respond. For us in your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. If you come and talk to him for a few moments, let's come talk to him. Maybe we want to pray for someone. Maybe we want to ask God for something. Whatever the need is, let's come talk to God and trust God to meet the needs that we have tonight. Let's turn to page 410 in the red hymnal. Page 410, the song says, Near the Cross.
Jesus Christ.